Time to consider a global economic tsunami.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Here's a prediction. When the economic history of the decade is someday written, there will be a whole chapter about spring to summer 2013, when the money which had been pouring into emerging market countries shifted the other way, with two of the biggies, Brazil and India, reporting their economic growth figures today. We thought we'd check in with our friend in London, Andrew Walker, the BBC's economics correspondent. Andrew, good to hear your voice.
Good to talk to you.
Mr. Walker, the capital flowed into emerging markets when interest rates dropped so low in the U.S. and Europe during and after the 2008 financial crisis. Why is the tide changing again?
Because investors are seeing the prospect of reduced Federal Reserve intervention in markets in the U.S., which will tend to raise long-term interest rates in the markets. And they want to get some of those better returns. And in the process, they are selling money in emerging financial markets. And that has been driving the currencies down and the interest rates up.
Now, you will have seen this today, Andrew. Mr. Singh, the Prime Minister of India, was talking about the silver lining, something about, well, at least it makes our exports cheaper and therefore India more competitive, I suppose.
That's certainly true. And it is also actually quite striking that in the earlier episodes of the Federal Reserve's extraordinary measures to stimulate the U.S. economy, a lot of emerging countries were getting worried about the effect of putting their exchange rates up. Brazil was one example. The finance minister, Guido Mantega, coined the phrase currency wars. He was worried that Brazilian industry was being made less competitive. The fact that those countries are once again being made more competitive, it can justifiably be described as a silver lining, but it's still quite a significant cloud that they are looking at.
Andrew Walker, BBC economics correspondent. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, David.
Now let's do the numbers. Brazil has now raised interest rates to stem the fall of its currency, and India's rupee has rebounded slightly from the depths of Wednesday. The FT 100 stock index in London is currently down 0.5%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up right now. Oil is back down from its Wednesday high. Cigarette ads have been banned from TV since 1971, but next month, tobacco giant R.J. Reynolds of Camel fame plans to start airing in Colorado commercials for its new electronic cigarette. Sally Herships reports on the marketing push for smoking billed as an alternative to tobacco.
Have you seen the new commercial for Blue e-cigarettes with Jenny McCarthy?
You know, I love being single, but here's what I don't love. A kiss that tastes like an ashtray. Blech.
Sales of e-cigarettes in the U.S. have topped $1 billion this year. It's only a fraction of the cigarette market, but sales are growing fast. So far, e-cigs have been dominated by smaller companies. Tom Malarkey is an equity analyst with Morningstar.
I think coast to coast, you'll probably see Blue e-cig commercials, maybe a little bit of Enjoy.
Big tobacco has been cautious. Malarkey says e-cig ads target smokers, so companies don't want to undermine traditional cigarettes, which are much more profitable. But R.J. Reynolds has a new ad for its e-cigarette, Vuse.
If you watch it, it takes you, you know, the majority of the ad itself to actually work out what the product is.
Shane McGill is a tobacco analyst with Euromonitor International. He says cigarette sellers are being careful not to attract regulators' attention. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
It's been the summer of surveillance, revelations of pervasive government tracking in the name of national security. One industry that raised early warnings about the potential for abuse of tracking technology is actually Hollywood. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Computer analyst Angela Bennett was just doing her job.
In the 1995 Sandra Bullock movie The Net, an evil hacker attacks companies through their websites. When Bullock learns too much, the hacker steals her identity.
They screwed with my information and my fingerprints.
Hacking, tracking, identity theft, Hollywood called it all nearly 20 years ago. And decades before that, it predicted the quintessential tracking device we all carry, says Jason Squire, a film professor at USC.
Star Trek, with its communicator, was much like today's cell phone.
The government isn't the only one tracking our cell phones. Retailers are starting to use our phones to send location-based offers.
Welcome back to The Gap. How those assorted tank tops work out for you?
Steven Spielberg's 2002 film Minority Report showed us the next level of ad tracking. As Tom Cruise walks through the mall, cameras scan his eyes and offer up personalized ad holograms. Will Regal is a data marketing consultant.
That specific example is 100% feasible today.
Regal says IBM is developing that technology now. Oh, and that huge interactive map Tom Cruise tracks crime on? Unveiled last year here in New York by Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
A network of cameras, many provided by private businesses, that are programmed to sound an alarm if they spot anything suspicious.
The Domain Awareness System, co-developed with Microsoft. Even cutting-edge technology is old news in Tinseltown, says USC's Jason Squire. Remember Dick Tracy?
Dick Tracy is known for his watch phone.
Calling Dick Tracy. Calling Dick Tracy.
Isn't that the rumor? Apple is working on that kind of futuristic watch.
The iWatch, a wrist phone that will reportedly monitor your pulse, your blood pressure, and your location. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And for 2 hours yesterday, the New York subway B&Q lines were stopped in Brooklyn as transit employees searched for two kittens that got down near the third rail. Kittens are now safe. Now, you may be prompted to do some kind of cost-benefit analysis about kittens versus lost productivity of stranded train riders. But before you do, consider the photo the New York Post took of one of the little guys peering out with his fluffy face and green eyes, his little nose obscured by the track. Where does that fit into your ruthless spreadsheet? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.